If y'all will turn in your notebooks to what is marked as section 6, we're going to be looking together at the Gospel of Mark and this study on encounters with Jesus. And we're looking in our session this morning on Mark chapter 1 and verses 40 to 45. So session 6 is what that is marked as in your notebook. It's the last session in your notebook. So the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, confronting the curse. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 40 to 45 together. This is the Word of our God. Let's read His Word together. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him and falling on his knees before Him and saying, "If You are willing, You can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. As far the word of our God. May He bless His word as we consider it together. Every age has a disease that is dreaded above all. Perhaps in our day, it's the AIDS epidemic, killing some 25 million people in the last 30 years. 100 years ago, it was the Spanish flu, which wiped out nearly 50 million people. If we were to look back at several points over the last 1,000 years, it would have been the bubonic plague, or known as the Black Death, which could cut the population in half. But in biblical days, the most feared malady of all was leprosy. Now, leprosy is not equivalent in biblical times to what we would call today leprosy or Hansen's disease. In biblical times, it included what we call today Hansen's disease, but it would also include a number of other skin ailments, from what we might consider eczema to a host of other things. Nevertheless, leprosy was called by the ancients the living death. You see, leprosy rendered a person unfit for society, and it cut them off from family and friends and the worship of God. And the isolation that a person felt as a leper was unparalleled from any other sickness of that time. Because you weren't just sick, you were unclean, a defiling, putrid presence, banished from everybody else. You were forced to stay away from all people, and you were commanded by law to live alone, to live outside the camp, to be away from the community. Your clothes had to be torn, your hair had to be disheveled, and you had to go around yelling everywhere you went, "Unclean, unclean." Well, as Jesus is traveling along the towns of Galilee, going from town to town preaching the gospel, he would have come through the outskirts of various towns, and there would have been lepers on the outskirts of these towns. So the scenario is set up here for Jesus to have an encounter with a leper. And as we see, Jesus will confront the curse in this man. As we consider the text, we're going to see four things together. And the first thing we're going to see is an entreaty of helplessness, an entreaty of helplessness. And we see it in verse 40. Let me read that verse to you again. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, the "and" in the sentence tells us that Jesus met this leper simply as he was traveling through the various towns preaching in Galilee. And that's not surprising. What is surprising, indeed what is absolutely shocking in this text, is the way Jesus encountered the leper. Because Mark tells us that the leper came to Jesus. Now, I want you to stop right there and consider what Mark is saying. Because the original reader would have to stop and reread that phrase. Surely, Mark, that's not what happened. That couldn't have happened. Because lepers did not come to anyone, much less the Son of God. Lepers stay away. Lepers are secluded outside the camp. Lepers have to pursue isolation. But a leper came to Jesus. Violating both law and custom, this leper comes near. And he doesn't just come. Look at what Mark says. Mark is heaping up words to describe what happens. It's as if the narrative goes into slow motion and the camera is zooming in on what's taking place here. And he heaps up these participles. And the leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling down on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Mark is emphasizing the urgency and desperation in this leper. But why would there be such urgency? What would motivate the leper to break law and custom to come near Jesus? Well, two reasons. What the leper knows of himself, and what he knows of Jesus. Let's first think about what the leper knows of himself. Mark doesn't give us any clues about the severity of this man's leprosy. But Luke tells us in a parallel passage that he is full of leprosy. And that would mean this is leprosy in the most severe form. And that this man has leprosy all over his body. Leprosy has progressed. So he's had leprosy probably for a long time. And I want us to pause and consider what that might mean for this man. At some point, many years ago, a wound developed on the man. Perhaps at first it was just a small sore and it wouldn't heal. And gradually it took on a reddish white appearance. It was suspicious. And when that happened, you were supposed to go to the priest and show it to him for inspection. Now, can you imagine the anxiety in that? Because you don't want to be declared a leper. You know what that means. So you're being inspected by the priest and you're waiting to see what he's going to say. The only thing we can compare it to, perhaps, is waiting to hear if you have terminal cancer. You're going to die. Or you're HIV positive. There's no cure for you. That's what this is like. So he's sitting there waiting for a diagnosis. Humanly speaking, if you got this, you're a dead man. It's on par with God having to raise the dead. That's the sense. In fact, there's a story about that in the Old Testament. There's a guy named Naaman, 2 Kings 5. Who has leprosy. He's taken in this Hebrew slave girl. And she says she wishes her master had contact with the prophet who's in Israel, Elisha. And if he could go to him, he would be healed. Well, Naaman gets in touch with the Aramean king who sends a letter to Israel, thinking that, of course, the prophet in Israel and the king in Israel are on, you know, relatively good terms and they work together. And if that's the case, then you know, my great mighty general can be healed by this prophet. So he sends off this letter to the king, wanting his mighty general to be healed. And when the king of Israel receives this letter, He tears his clothes and he says, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy?" Jehoram, the king of Israel, hates Elisha. They don't work together. And he's saying, "Am I God that I can cure a man of his leprosy?" Only God can cure a man of leprosy. Well, God does intervene in that story. Elisha tells Naaman what he must do to be cured of his leprosy. He's to wash in the Jordan 7 times, and he is cured. But for our purposes, the point is, without God's miraculous intervention, if you've got leprosy, you're a dead man. Josephus, a first century Jewish historian, said the banishment of lepers was in no way differing from a corpse. That's why it was called the living death. So imagine you're a poor man and you have this suspicious sore on you. You've been put in the care of the priest, and for 7 days you're locked up in isolation waiting to see what's going to happen with that little reddish white sore on your body. 7 more days, the priest comes back to check, and that little white sore has not gone away. So for 7 more days, you're in isolation waiting to see. And then it's still there, and in fact, it's beginning to spread. So you are declared to be leprous. You have to leave your family. You have to leave your friends. You're banished from the worship of God. You can never come to church again, or the temple worship in this case. You must go around with disheveled hair, torn clothes, and yell, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from me," everywhere you go. As this disease grows worse, numbness comes over your hands and your feet and portions of your face. You might cut yourself or burn yourself because of the numbness that's in your body. Plus, open sores are appearing on your body. And those open sores are emitting a foul smell. You stink. Nobody wants to come near you. The only people near you are other lepers. And those open sores become a feast for all kinds of scavenging insects and rats. But not only are you subject to the insects and rats and have numbness, you are subject to perpetual weakness because of the sickness, something like flu-like symptoms. That's how you feel all the time. And gradually, your flesh is rotting off. You're beginning to lose fingers and toes, and maybe even your nose or parts of your ear. Your eyesight is fading. Your speech is slurred, and you have to live with this living death until your body just gives way. So I want you to imagine this man walking around with the living death all over his body, the hideousness of his condition. He's full of leprosy. But then a beacon of hope arises because Jesus is coming by. Now, we don't know what he knows about Jesus, but he knows something about Jesus. And that's the second thing I want you to think about in this first point. How he heard about Jesus, the text doesn't say. But word about Jesus' miraculous power is spinning throughout the land. Earlier in Mark chapter 1, Mark has told us that people are flocking to where Jesus has been staying to be healed of their diseases. Jesus has banished a demon out of a man. Jesus has cast a fever out of Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus is healing multitudes. So he has perhaps heard people walking by and talking about being healed. Perhaps he's even heard something of Jesus' message. Here is a man claiming to be the Savior, preaching himself as God's King of the kingdom, one who would set the captives free, one who would bind up the brokenhearted. And don't his miracles prove it? And if he's cast out demons, if he's banished fevers, if he's making the blind to see, well then can he not heal me? Therefore, when this guy knows Jesus is coming by, here's his one chance, perhaps of healing, to reverse the rot that's in his flesh. So there's nothing in the world that's going to hold him back of coming near Jesus. I don't care what custom says or what the ceremonial law says. I have got to get near the Savior who can fix me. Not fear of embarrassment or scolding or shame or anything. He's already a dead man. What does he have to lose? So he goes near to Jesus. He knows he's powerful enough to fix him. The only question is he willing? Is he willing to heal me? So hear him again now. He comes to Jesus and he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, friends, if you hear that helpless cry and you understand the picture of this leper in your mind, it should cause you not just to feel sorry for him. It should cause you to understand your own wretched condition. Because leprosy is a symbol of the wretchedness of sin. Leprosy is to the body what sin is to the soul. Sin is a foul disease that affects every part of you. It affects the way you think and your reasoning. It affects your emotions. It affects your desires. It affects your conscience. And it eats away at you. And it brings misery to your whole person. Like leprosy, it results in profound loneliness because it separates you. It separates you from God. It separates you from man. It separates you from creation. It even separates you from yourself because you can't even understand yourself because of sin. And it too is a living death because you're under a curse because of your sin. But unlike leprosy, which only affects a few people, sin affects everyone. And because of sin, we're all under the curse. Scripture says that this body is a body of death. The question is, have we, like this poor leper, recognized it? Have we seen the terrible effects of sin? What a pity it would be if this leper just let Jesus walk by him, not realizing that he was really sick, and there was the one who could save him. What a fool we would be if we just let Jesus go by, and we are so sick with sin, and there's the one who can save our guilty souls. Are we going to wake up and see that here he is, the Jesus Christ, who can make the soul and the body well? That if we're under the dominion of sin, Jesus Christ can bring healing to us. And look at the effects of sin that are in you. Look at your disobedience. Look at your gossip. Look at your lies. Look at your pride. Which one of you is going to say that there is health in you? And if one spot of leprosy was enough to render you unclean, don't you understand that one spot of sin is enough to banish you from the presence of a holy God? It's the same. One spot drives you away from the presence of God. The leper knew he was unclean. And he knew the only one able to save him was Jesus Christ. Do you know that the only one who is able to rescue you from your sin is the Lord Jesus Christ? And does not this leper show you what you must do? You must come to Jesus. You must acknowledge your filth. You must be drawn near to Jesus Christ. You must believe He is able to heal. He has the power to save you. You must leave all. You must go before Him. You must cast yourself before His mercy. Surely this entreaty of helplessness is a model to you of what to do. And if you have not come to Christ, you should look at this leper and you should learn from him, because his profound need shows you your profound need. But secondly, I want you to see now, secondly, a confrontation of compassion. a confrontation of compassion. When the leper came to Jesus, he was already convinced of Jesus' power. But what he didn't know, especially in view of the violation of law and custom, is how he would be received by Jesus. So he throws himself before Jesus and he asks that question, or makes the statement, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." But what we see next is the Savior confronting the curse in this man with unimaginable compassion. Mark says, verse 41, "And moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." Now, seeing the ravages of the disease and its deforming results in this man, the humiliation it brought to him, that stirred Jesus' passion and his merciful heart against the curse in the man. Jesus grieved at what sin had done. Not that a specific sin had resulted in this disease in the man, but sin in the world, the curse and its effects, and how it had broken this man and destroyed him. And his tender mercy was aroused. And the word here used to describe Jesus' compassion is very picturesque. The word compassion here is a classical Greek word used to refer to the inward parts, like the heart and the lungs and the liver. And the Jews picked up on this word and they made it a metaphor to describe the most intense feelings of mercy, a feeling that comes from the depths. And Mark says Jesus felt a compassion from the depths. A strict reading of the Greek would say that his heart contracted convulsively. That's the idea. If we put it in our modern day language, we would say that Jesus had a feeling in his gut of compassion. That's the sense. He's broken in his gut over the need of this man, and he's moved to compassion. But this isn't just compassion that's felt. It's compassion that moves. It's compassion that moves. It's compassion that does something. It's compassion that takes action. So often we see people who are in a terrible situation and we feel sorry for them. But Jesus actually has compassion that acts. That's biblical compassion. Compassion that moves. And Jesus is displayed by Mark to us in a beautiful way. And Mark wants to show us so carefully that, again, he slows down the action. We're zooming in. Verse 41. "And moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I'm willing, be cleansed.'" The leper knew Jesus was powerful. He wondered if he was willing. But the mercy he found in Jesus was greater than he could have imagined. Now, Jesus' word would have been sufficient to heal. All Jesus had to say was, "Be cleansed." Jesus did not have to touch him. He just had to speak. But Jesus was pleased not just to speak. He wanted to put to rest the man's anxiety. But not only did he speak to the man, he was willing to physically display the depths of his compassion. So he did the unthinkable. He stretched out his hand and he touched him. Now, this man is unclean. He's filthy. He stinks. He's disgusting. He would defile you. Everyone recoiled from him. No one wanted to be near him. And judging from what we know of the leprosy that covered him, no one likely had touched him in years. You ever thought about how much we like to be touched? How important it is for us to live with human contact? What it would be like not to be touched by another person? How that would affect you psychologically? That would be very difficult. Think about, what if your mom never gave you a hug? What if nobody touched you for a week? Everybody just stayed away from you. That would be damaging. But the Savior of the world reached out and touched this man. And what is Jesus saying? No one is too dirty to come to me. I accept anyone who comes to me. I came to save the sick, the poor, the lowly, the defiled. If you look to me, I will accept you. You will be entirely cleansed. Though Jesus is God in the flesh, possessing all authority, all power, He's unspeakably holy, He's not a distant Savior. He's not far off. He comes near His people. He says, "He who comes to me, I will by no means cast off." That's the beautiful Savior that we have. So if any of you are overwhelmed and burdened by your sin, if you're weighted down by how filthy and dirty and wretched you are, Jesus will receive you as readily as He received this filthy leper. And He will confront the tyranny of sin in you. And in a moment, He will transform your soul. And lest you doubt, look at His transforming compassion here. The touch that would have defiled anyone else. It's actually the opposite with Jesus. Instead of being defiled by the leper, Jesus undefiled this man. And think of what that meant. Restorative creation burst forth with this man. Because immediately he was healed. Can you imagine what that meant for this man? Maybe he had lost fingers and toes. If he's immediately healed, what does that mean? Did they instantly grow back? His flesh is torn and tattered and welts, oozing wounds. And immediately they're gone? How is that even possible? Who is this Jesus? He is God. And out of nothing came new life. He spoke life where there was death. And that's what He does for sinners. Where there's only death in a darkened sinner's heart, He speaks light and life. That's what Jesus came to do, to abolish death and give life and immortality to light in the gospel. If you are darkened and dead in your sin, Jesus Christ brings life to you. That's what Christ does for those who come to Him. He banishes the curse. That's the display of His compassion. And if you come to Christ, you too will know you're so liberated. And it's something even more amazing than with this leper. Because you will know a whole body and soul transformed forever. And John says that Jesus cries out these words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour shall come. An hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live." You will live now and your body will be raised and you will live forever. Why would you then stay away from Him? Why wouldn't you come to Him if such transformation can be brought to you? And friend, if you're already in Christ, if you've already rested on the Savior, How can you not praise Jesus for what He's done for your soul? The compassion that He's had on you. How can you not praise Him for the new life He's given when you only deserved that death? Here you were abounding in your filth and He had mercy on you. And what's even more striking is that the Son of God, the Lord of glory, He who had glory with the word, with God before the world began, He came down. And He took the likeness of sinful flesh and He was willing to get dirty to save us. How many of us would be willing to get dirty with other sinners? We recoil from dirty people. If somebody's filthy, what do? Go the other way. If there's some stinky person over there, what do? Walk away from them. But here's our Savior. And He humbled Himself. He became one of us that He might save us. It's striking. What compassion is in our Lord. Thirdly, I want you to see a witness to supremacy. A witness to supremacy. After Jesus cleansed the leper, He gives the leper some specific instruction. Verse 44, and He said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now, Jesus' command to the man is stern and emphatic. He literally says, "See that to no one, nothing you say." And the command is strong already. See that. That's a very strong command. But He adds the double negative here to be emphatic. Why is Jesus silencing this man? He did it with the demons. But why the man? Well, the reason is the same. So many are coming to Jesus just to see His miraculous signs. And they're not coming to Him for the salvation that He is preaching. So there's so much misunderstanding about why Jesus came. And Jesus doesn't want that for people. So He commands this man to silence, but with one notable exception. The leper was to make haste and to go show himself to the priest. He was to travel to Jerusalem and to do everything Moses required in the law. To go through certain washings, to be inspected, to be watched for some days, and then to be declared clean. But the ultimate aim of that obedience was to be a testimony to the priests. Now remember, leprosy is a death sentence. You can't get over leprosy. So how did this man get over leprosy? When this man goes and shows himself to the priests, what do you think they're going to ask him? How did this happen? How were you cleansed? Did someone do this? It will lead to conversation. It will lead to a moment where this man can say, "Jesus healed me." And in that moment, Jesus is sending a message. Jesus is sending a message to the priests to tell them, "Wake up and see who I am." So by means of this leper, Jesus was sending a message to the priests. To declare to them, "Wake up and see who I am. See that I am the Son of God. See that I am the Supreme Priest. See that I am God in the flesh. And you should believe in me. You should trust in me." See, the priests, even this is very early on in Jesus' ministry, those in Jerusalem are already rejecting who Jesus is. They are not accepting that Jesus is the Savior. But what is Jesus doing? He's sending a message to them through this man to confront them with His person. "I am the Christ." Jesus doesn't say, "Well, you guys hate me, so I hate you back." He loves sinners. And He's sending a message that their eyes might be opened. He's sending them a light that they might repent and trust in Him. And is that not our purpose in salvation too? He saves His people to proclaim the greatness of God in our salvation. As new creatures in Christ, we bear witness to the light. He calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light that we might proclaim His excellencies. We do that in worship. He makes us light in the Lord that we might be His light in the world. So we declare what great things God has done. Jesus doesn't recommend, leper, that you be a witness. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Go to the priests. Be a testimony to them. We likewise are witnesses. And His love compels us to give continual testimony to the truth. Isn't that part of what it means to love our enemies? And shall we fail to take the gospel to those who are even hostile to the gospel? That through the transformation of our souls, they will see there is a God who has saved us from sin in Jesus Christ. Can't you see that He's transformed us? And let me tell you what He's done. That's what's going on with this leper. So we learn from how Jesus used the leper that as He's a walking testimony of the glory and grace of God, that's what we're to be. That He can give verbal testimony to what God has done. And may we do the same. But finally, see with me the consequence of disobedience. The consequence of disobedience. And we see it in the final verse, verse 45. Now Jesus commanded the leper to silence. He commanded him to silence, with that one exception, to go to the priest. But, verse 45, Mark tells us, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Now, does his disobedience mean he didn't go show himself to the priests? Well, we don't really know because Mark doesn't say. It could be that he did go show himself to the priests and then he came back to his hometown and he wasn't quiet. Certainly, when he came back into society, people would ask him questions. Why are you here? Hey, what's happened to you? Well, we really don't know exactly how his not being quiet happened. Mark doesn't give us a lot of detail. But what we know is Jesus told him to be quiet, and he wasn't. He literally began to proclaim much and spread the word. And what did he proclaim? Well, the word Mark uses for spreading the word is the same word for preaching of the good news. And it might well be that what the man was preaching or proclaiming was the good news found in Jesus. Well, what are we to make of that? Because Jesus told him not to do it. I think Matthew Henry is right here when he says, the leper ought to have obeyed his orders, yet, no doubt, it was with a good design that he proclaimed the cure. Which one of us would cast a stone at him if you were cleansed of leprosy like he was? It'd be pretty hard to be quiet about that, wouldn't it? And can you imagine? You've just been cured of this living death and you can't tell anybody about it? That would be difficult. But there are some negative consequences that Mark wants you to see. Because of that, Jesus was limited to largely unpopulated areas. There's a little bit of an irony in what happens here. The leper previously had been confined to unpopulated areas with his leprosy. But now Jesus is confined because of the leper's actions. Surely if there's one thing we can learn from the leper's failure, it's this. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. His zeal was not according to knowledge. And even if unintentionally, he caused problems for Jesus by fanning up false notions. And though Jesus has not told us that we are to be silent about the salvation of our souls, still there are times to speak and there are times to hush. And too often we're doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. We're hushing when we ought to be speaking, and we're speaking when we ought to be hushing. However, we still need to be careful how we use our tongues to proclaim the good news of Christ. Yet even with this consequence, when we look back at everything that's happened here with the cleansing of this leper, I think all in all, we're really astounded at the willingness of Jesus Christ to come and help the helpless. You see, here we get a glimpse of how Jesus confronts the curse in enemy territory, and He sends the curse fleeing away. King Jesus will have dominion, and He will bring blessing as far as the curse is found. Why does He do that? Because He's a compassionate Savior. And I tell you this morning that He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He's still a compassionate Savior. And He calls you to Himself, that compassion may be brought to bear on your soul. And if you come to Him, you who are weary and heavy laden, you will find rest in Him. May you be found doing so. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we bless You for what we learn of our beautiful and loving Savior in this passage of Scripture. We thank You that our Lord Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, that He came to shatter the curse, that He came to overthrow the power of sin, and in doing so, He displays the depth of His mercy. And Lord, I pray for all of us who hear that You would grant that Your Spirit would come and take this word and seal it to our hearts, that we might believe great things of You and respond, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.